Matthew 24. Me and God have been wrestling for 3 days, and I've lost. I've lost. Yeah. It don't feel good. It doesn't feel good. Because I thought I had a couple good messages that would preach real well, and he was saying no. And I don't know if you're familiar with preaching or not, but it goes something like this. You want to make sure what God has for you to preach. And it's like picking flowers out of a nursery. Does that make sense? And you got all these flowers. You got thousands and thousands of different flowers in there. And God says, pick a good one. And I'm like, man, all of them's good. Pick the one I want you to pick that's good this Sunday. Well, God picked one early in the week, and I thought, man, that's not exciting. And that's not fun. And I don't even know if anybody will get that one. Lord, can we do this one? And I studied, and I prayed, and I studied, and I prayed. And God put it back again and said, go back and look at that other one again. We went through this Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Got up real early Saturday morning and said, all right, God, you've changed your mind, haven't you? You're going to give me what I want, right? I said, no, Matthew chapter 24, my reality. This is God's reality. It's not our reality. This is God's reality. So the title of this is God's reality. And we all need a reality check sometimes. Not our reality, we need God's reality check. And that's what I'm giving you this morning. And I'm hoping it meets a need in your life. I know it's meeting needs in my life, because sometimes I can get off focus. And I can look at a reality that matters, but really doesn't matter in the big scope of things to God. I want y'all to see Matthew chapter 24, verse 1. I want to show y'all something neat, and then we're going to jump all the way to verse 36. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another, and that shall not be thrown down. We're going to go to 36. Have you ever told somebody old or older than you and wiser than you about something that you thought you knew something about? No. Oh. As a kid, did you ever tell your dad something you thought he didn't know about? Well, here the disciples and the apostles are telling the Ancient of Days about the temple buildings. Hey, Jesus, you got to come here. Look, check this out. Hey, Ancient of Days. Hey, one without beginning or without end. Hey, God in the form of a man. Come here, I want to show you something. I want to show you some awesome church buildings. Look at this. And Jesus is like, who do you think laid the blueprint for these babies? Huh? Who do you think gave the architects the mind or the desire to build this? Right? Matter of fact, I was looking at the screen when the song was playing. In the background, there looked like there's dust particles. Did anybody else see it? I'm sorry, I got a severe case of ADHD, and I don't see the words, I see the stuff behind it, and it's running, filtering. You know what that reminded me of? That's our planet in the universe. We're a speck of dirt. The Hubble telescope, they take pictures of the universe, and they back up, and they back up, and they back up, and they back up, and they make the Earth look like a particle of dirt in the universe. God made that. What? The universe. And He put us in it for some weird reason. Third rock from the sun. And He made it the way He wanted to make it. He made it in 6 days. Then took a day of rest. And His kids said, hey, Dad, check out these buildings. Are you in awe or what? Jesus took one look at them. And what they're amazed by and what they're in awe of. He said, before this world ends, not one stone will stand what you're looking at. What you're in awe of, this will be all gone. And then all of a sudden, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus took a panoramic view and he rolled out a scroll of how the whole world was going to end. I'm not going to do the whole chapter here for you, but sometime today, get chapter 24 out, and he goes line by line. He said there's going to be false, first of all, the temples are all going to be gone. This is going to be gone. There's going to be false prophets arise. He said there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be nation against nation. He said there's going to be many who come in my name and say they're men. They're going to be false prophets saying the end is coming, the end is coming, the end is coming. Don't believe them. He said, then there's going to be tribulation that you're not even going to believe. The sun and the moon and the stars that I place in the heavens are going to disappear. He said, don't even worry about that. He then worry when the tribulation comes, when Israel is being under such attack that they go in hiding. Right? Whew. He said, then they're going to say, Jesus is out in the wilderness, and Jesus is in the mountain, and Jesus is in this place. You know what he said? Don't listen to that. God. He said, when I come back, I'm going to come back as lightning comes across the eastern sky. Listen, we all think Jesus is going to sneak in and take his people out. Jesus is not going to sneak in and take what belongs to him. He's coming back and it'll be really clear what he does. He'll take the church home. And a lot of you say, well, I'm post-trib, pre-trib, mid-trib. I'm kind of somewhere in the mid-trib crowd. Don't post me up after church, try to talk to me about that stuff because it's boring kind of to me. But I want to tell you this, I think we're going to be right at the edge of the tribulation and all of a sudden God will come and get the church out. Amen? We won't go through taking the mark of the beast and all that stuff, but we'll go through a little tribulation. We'll go through some trouble, we'll go through some things, and the days will be shortened. And you know what? We'll be sitting there going, man, if God don't do something soon, and all of a sudden God will say, I'm going to do something soon, I'm going to take you out of here. Amen? Y'all good? Then Jesus gives some good warnings. Let me break this back down. I don't want to go too fast for you. I want to make this clear. Is this to scare you? No, but if it does, let it scare you and get saved. But let me tell you this way. This is for the disciples and the apostles. See, he had already been teaching the lost. He had been teaching about salvation. He told how to get saved. What he was doing here, his disciples were trying to show him something, and then he turned around and showed them something. So this is just really for believers. But if you start to see yourself that you're not one of those and you don't want to go through eternity separated from God, this would be a good morning for you to come up here and resign your life to Christ. Repent of your wicked ways. Turn from yourself and accept God as your Lord and Savior. Amen? Because in verse 36, after he's given a panoramic, I'm talking about from that moment 2,000 years ago all the way up into this place where we're probably standing somewhere in the midst of today, he gives an examples of what it's going to look like at the very end. And I think we're close, but I don't really care. I'm going to do my job until he comes back. Watch this in verse 36. He said, But the day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Woo! Glory to God! God is the only one who knows when the world will end. God himself will say to Jesus, go get your bride. Go get your church. Listen, God's reality is this, that there is a day coming. God can do everything. God can do anything, but he can't lie. So his reality is this, I'm coming back. There's going to be a day when God is fed up and done. And everything he wants, he's going to turn and say, go get your church. Man, I don't know why. I thought that was going to be a shouter. I don't know why. I don't know if it's the modern church. We're comfortable here. We're ready to stay. Maybe we got it like the Laodicean church. We got a vision. We got money. We're comfortable. We're doing good. And we just, man, just God just give us enough to get us through. But you know the old church. The old church used to be like, man, I can't wait. God, come on. I don't want to stay here. God, I've had enough of this world. I'm tired. Of listening to the things that I'm hearing and seeing the things I'm seeing. I'm scared for my kids, Lord. I'm scared for the grandkids. I'm scared for what this nation's going to go through. I'm scared for what this world's going to. God, would you just come on? It won't hurt my feelings if you come back now. Come on, Lord. Come on back. The church used to be excited. We used to sing songs about heaven. We wanted to go to heaven. We're ready, God. We didn't get saved for here. We got saved for there. Lord, I'm looking forward to you coming back. I want to preach harder. I want to reach further. I want to touch more lives. Because guess what? In that message he said, the gospel will be preached in all the world before he comes back. What if this morning is the last? What if the last person has to hear the gospel? We think it this way, Ray. We think, well, back over in China somewhere, over in Australia, over in even a dark, I mean, one of them aberrant men, some missionary is going to crawl into some cave and tell some guy, hey man, Jesus came and died for you. And he's going to say, all right. And the world's going to get, no, you know what I believe? I believe it's going to be some young American kid who don't even know what a Bible is anymore. Who doesn't even know what Jesus is anymore. Who don't even know right from wrong or up or down. You know what? We always think, man, them third world countries, they don't know enough about God. I guarantee you right now we can get on most school buses and ride to school and talk about Jesus and people wouldn't even know what we're talking about. We don't need missionaries to go into the whole world. We need the missionaries to come into our world. Amen? We need some missionaries to come back to America. We need some third world missionaries to come here and set up shop and say, look, you brought us the gospel. We'll bring it back to you. Because we're preaching stuff now. We won't feel good. We won't encourage. Hey, boost my self-esteem. I don't really care about your self-esteem. I really don't. I care about your soul destination. Some of you are going to meet me at the church and say, you don't care about how I feel. I don't. I care about where you're going for eternity. That's what I care about. I don't care how you feel. I don't care if you like the church or don't like the church. I don't care if you like the color or don't like the color. I don't care if you like the messenger. I hope you love Jesus. Because if you don't fall in love with Jesus, you can fall in love with everything else. Tolerate everything else. I can tolerate everything because I know where Jesus is taking me. Go get your church. I can't wait till the church goes home. No more preaching. No more teaching. No more singing about it. Our faith ends in sight. Boy, anybody else want to cast a crown? Everybody, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have this. I'm going to have a mansion. I'm going to have this. Boy, I can't wait to get up there to give something away. Roll up to the feet of Jesus and just toss my crown down and just say, thank you. Whew. Thank you for loving me who was unlovable. Thank you for saving me who is unsavable. God. Anybody else in here don't feel worthy of being saved? Whew. Anybody glad that you're saved and you didn't deserve it? Verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in those days they were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So also the coming of the Son of Man will be. He gives a great deal. He uses Noah a lot in the Bible. You know what I like about Noah? When the rain started, he didn't care what people said about him anymore. You're a Christian. You're a holy roller. You think you're better than us. Da 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 da. You're this, you're that. You're stupid. You're insane. You're narrow-minded. You're closed-minded. You're a bigot. You're a racist. You're this. You're homophobic. Whatever. I don't care what you call me as long as it ends with I'm saved. I'll let that settle. I don't hate people, man. I love people. I'm in the love people business. Let me say this real quick. If you don't love people, you're not in the church. Amen? I love people enough to walk into somebody's mess and tell them there's one way out of your mess, and that's Jesus. If you turn to Him, all this other stuff will take care of itself. If you don't, you're in trouble. You say, how can you do that? Because somebody was willing to do it to me. When I was lost in my sin, when I was covered in my mess, somebody walked up into my life and said, hey, Kevin, if you keep living this way, you're hell-bound. I hated the message, hated the messenger. But after I got the message and I got the messenger right, guess what? I loved them more than anybody else. You know what Noah did? Noah was working on one thing. Noah was working on one thing. A way out. For him, his family, and the rest of the world. Every single day, Noah got up and started working on an ark. Sanding wood, nailing nails, put this here, put that there. And the boys would say, Dad, it ain't never rained before. I know, sons, keep going. Hey, Dad, hey, you know, there's not a body of water within 100 miles here with this ship's on the top of a mountain. What in the world? Hey, God said build it here, so just build it. Just do what you're told to do. I know it sounds crazy. And they said he preached something like almost 120 years of the same message. Get in the boat, get in the boat, get in the boat, get in the boat. And all of a sudden we come, get into Christ, get into Christ, get into Christ. You sound like a fool, you look like a fool. People do stuff to you. People say stuff to you. People think about you. Oh, they say, oh man, you're crazy. Oh, they got all these thoughts towards you because you're a Christian. Man, when it's raining, it don't matter what they think. Amen? Noah's in there building that thing, and I guarantee when he said, come in here. Have you ever been up to that Noah's Ark up there in Kentucky? They built it just like the original. Only got one door. God's salvation plans only come with one door. Amen? They only come with one door. Back then it was one door to the ark. Now it's one door named Jesus. He said, come in here. They come in there. Then they came up, then the whole world came apart. Guess what? One day, somebody might have to come chase me. He's coming here. One day, God's going to say, come in here. He's going to shut the door. He's going to shut the door. He's going to shut the door on a lot of people. And when I don't, hey, listen, I ain't heartless. I care more than anything else about you people. But when that door shuts, I can't help you. When that door shuts, ain't nobody can help you. When that door shuts, nobody else can reach you. Amen. When that door shuts, you're on the outside of salvation and there ain't no getting in. Somebody said, well, I wish they could find the ark. I wish they could too. I guarantee there was some bones and fingernails and blood and DNA all over that ship trying to get in some way. But the only way in had already been closed. He uses Noah's ark as a great example. One day, he's coming back and he's going to come back that very same way. You're going to be marrying and giving in marriage and celebrating life and going about doing your own thing. And God says, you better tune into my reality. I am coming back. And if you're not building towards heaven, you're building towards the wrong thing. Listen, some of you, listen. Oh, let me go ahead. I'll get there. Watch this. Y'all ready? Watch this. Verse 39, verse 40, verse 41. Verse 40. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Verse 41. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. God said, in reality, one day when I come back for my church, we're coming out of here. And it looks like about 50%. Whew. Oh man. There's going to be somebody working in the field. Some guy you've been working next to, some person you've been sitting next to your whole life, talking about weather, talking about sports, talking about stuff, and every once in a while he would say, I'm going to church on Sunday, I've been born again, and you thought, man, you ain't got nothing. You ain't got nothing no better than I got. One day he's just going to disappear. Ain't going to be nothing left but the clothes, amen? You're going to be working with some woman who you thought was crazy. She was a little bit older than you. Maybe didn't know what technology was. Couldn't work a cell phone. Couldn't work a tablet. Couldn't work a computer. But every once in a while she'd say, oh, honey, I'm praying for you. Cool. You thought she was crazy. You thought she was outdated. You thought she didn't know nothing. But she knew how to get a hold of God because you know what? They used to pray through. The church don't even do that anymore. Pray through. We get saved. Salvation's easy, but there is a thing called praying through. If you ain't prayed through, you probably didn't have a breakthrough. If you didn't pray through it, listen, I want depression to go. I want anxiety to go. I want my kids to get saved. I want this to happen. Praise God, have you prayed through? No, I ain't talking about if you ask somebody else to pray. Hadn't you have open? Hey, God, help me out. I'm talking about get down until do business till God says get up. I'll never. Yeah, I know it's 2019. It's 2000. Preacher, you're a man out of time. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. You're a man out of time. Stop it. You know what happened? Back then we'd have hundreds of people saved. Hundreds of people would be baptized. You know why? Because somebody would pray through. Some of you mothers in here, some of you grandmothers, some of you fathers, it'd be a time for you to start praying through. You're saved. Yeah. Yeah, you're saved. going to church every Sunday, coming in this place all the time. Hey, but you don't know about your grandkids. But you don't know about your kids. Wouldn't it be a good time if we take this altar back? That it's not just somewhere you come every once in a while, but you come and you besiege heaven with prayer after prayer after prayer because you don't listen. I'm preaching. Y'all don't, I'm not like, you know what, one day we're all going to go to heaven, but what if that other group of people are not people that are strangers? There's people that you know. Family members that you know. Your kids. Your wife. Your husband. You're just gone. They're standing there. I don't want to leave anybody behind. Amen? Tell them about Jesus. That's a reality. One day the church is coming out of here. And it probably ain't going to happen on a Sunday. The Lord will probably make it on a Sunday on purpose now. Verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what the hour, you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man, underline that word, all you men in here, look at that with me, in verse 42. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known it, in which the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not have suffered his house to be broken up. Do y'all see that good man? Y'all see it? Do you know what that really translates as? The leader of the home. I know, y'all been hearing out of context for about 100 years in the church. I'm the leader of this household. Well, if you are, you better love Jesus. And you better love Jesus and seek after Him with your whole heart and run after Him with passion. And you better love your bride and your kids as Christ loved the church. Otherwise, I'm the head of this household. Really puts you in more danger than it does anything else. It don't put you in authority, it puts you in danger. God, I'm preaching good. It's so quiet in here, you could drop a dime and hear it. Because if you're the leader of your household, and they know daddy is after money, after the job, after a rank, after a home, after things, more than he's after God, then guess what? God's holding you accountable for eternity. You say, why are you putting it up to us men? Well, that's what the Bible said. Well, I'm a single mom. What about me? Well, guess what? You're the leader of your household. You got to go after Jesus. You got to pursue Jesus. You got to go after Him with passion because God's given you some authority in your home. Amen? Whew. I'm dancing. Boy, I'm dancing on a tightrope this morning, ain't we? Man, you're talking like the church is in the 1800s. I don't think the church ever changed to God. Men are accountable. He said, you are a husband, house band. Oh. Husband, house band. You're supposed to hold the house together. I don't feel like it. It don't matter how you feel. I don't like it. I don't matter if you like it. If you made a commitment, make another commitment to God and get him, help Him get you out of the mess you're in. Oh, my marriage ain't working out. Get to loving God and love your wife as Christ loved the church. That means you got to lay your life down. Some of you need to get on this altar, men, and lay your life down. God, it ain't about me. It's about you, and it's about us getting to heaven. Some of you need to make a new commitment to God and a new commitment to your wife and your family. You're chasing, he sung this song this morning, couldn't be no more perfect. Now, you're chasing everything but God. And you're wondering why it's a mess. Whew. Might as well just stop now and have an altar call. But why do we have to have an altar call for men to come to the altar? I told you it's going to be a hard message. Therefore be ye ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. I ain't going to come today. He ain't going to come today. He ain't coming today. We got plenty of time. What if he does come today? Are you saved? Is your wife saved? Are your husband saved? Are your kids saved? Are your grandkids saved? What are you doing for the kingdom of God? You know what he said? He said if a man was wise and he knew a thief was coming to break in his house, Hey, tonight at 1 o'clock in the morning, if somebody was going to break in your house, what would you be doing? What would you be doing if somebody was going to come over to your house tonight at 1 a.m. and break in your house? What would you be doing? I know where I'd be at 12. I'd be loading, cleaning guns. Amen? And when they showed up, every light in the house would be on. Amen? There'd be a sign in the front yard. Trespassers will be shot. And then we will call the law. I'm sorry. Sorry, politically incorrect statement. Amen? I would let them know that I know they're coming and there's no reason to try to break in here because I'm ready! Guess what? God says, I'm coming back as a thief in the night. Are you ready? Because I'm going to break into your life. And if you're not ready, you'll be eternally separated from me. As kids, we did this crazy thing. We played this crazy game when we were kids. You ever played it? It's called hide and go seek. You sit here and count. And then when we're hiding, you come seek us. You ever do that? You sit over there. 1, 2, 3, 4. Count to 50, right? 48. 49. 50. Say it real loud. God says for 2,000 years. It's been 2,000 years. Ready or not, here I come. If he came back today, where would you be? If he came back today, where would you be? As y'all stand, Scott, come get this on.